You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Did you see the fishermen coming in today?
Just like yesterday, there was no one there.
I'm hallucinating.
You missed the CC. Full hallucination out of Evan yesterday. Yeah.
I literally tried to protect her. I said, hey, be careful. The fisherman's over there. She's like, what are you talking about? There's no... I don't know what happened to me. I thought I saw a guy fishing off the pier.
Was it just you sleepwalking a little bit?
No, I have to drive an hour to get here. If I'm sleepwalking, that's a problem, because then I was sleep driving.
What if it was a ghost?
I think it was. Yeah.
You being haunted?
It's like a Scooby-Doo episode.
Luckily, I had your back against
right?
that ghost.
Exactly.
The ghost didn't come for me.
It was coming for me?
Well, I didn't see the ghost, so it's not presenting itself to me.
So you got the sixth sense when you're walking into the Seaport studio? Is that what's happening?
I so want to make ghost Tommy power references right now.
You see dead people?
Obviously I do. I don't know who I'm seeing, but random dead fishermen who I see coming in every single
My
day.
My Lakers had the Bucks seeing ghosts last night.
Ooh.
Just gonna put that out there. I mean, you didn't want to talk about it. We've been avoiding talking about it.
I'm the only one who's mentioned it. You have not mentioned it until
well,
now.
Well, you haven't given me an opportunity to mention it.
I need to give you an opportunity to talk.
Keep going crazy with the Dak Prescott and the Chicago Bears and all that stuff. We can't talk about my Lakers. Won four games in a row, our longest win streak this season. Hello.
How you feeling?
I feel pretty good. Without LeBron James, we got a 6-4 record this year, including two wins over the Bucks. 2-0 against the Bucks this season without LeBron James.
You already wrote them off.
Who would have thought that? Huh?
You wrote the Lakers off.
Yeah, but we're only two games. I'm glad they didn't write back. We're two games behind the Phoenix Suns, and the Phoenix Suns are in the middle of not only the toughest 10-game stretch of any team this season, but the toughest 10-game stretch of any team over the last 10 years.
Well, America's...
Like, I'm just saying, the Lakers could be in a situation in the play-in where they only got to win one game to get into a playoff series, not two.
Do you believe in them?
I think they can get it done.
You have really changed your perspective on your Lakers.
It's because the way Anthony Davis is playing is starting to remind me of how he played post All-Star break last year.
52 minutes last night.
Well, 52 minutes. Did you see the stat line? What was it?
34
points, 23 boards.
Four blocks.
He's an absolute monster last night. And I mean, for that team to be down by 20 and to come back the way that they did.
You just hope you get that consistently from him.
You do, but I mean, when you're playing against the Milwaukee Bucks, I mean, no lead is safe for Milwaukee,
sure,
right?
Yeah.
It's a Doc Rivers coach team. They're going to give up the ghost. Sorry, Evan, but I'm just saying, like they were down 19, I think it was, in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
And they outscored the Bucks in the final 18 minutes of that game, including overtimes. They outscored them 53-30 and shot over 50% from the field. So, I mean, that's great for the Lakers. Conversely, there's a problem for the Bucks. Like, when teams actually get locked in and care about what's going on and care about scoring, the Bucks can't stop them. People keep telling me to not worry about the Bucks defensively. They've been so much better post-All-Star break defensively. I didn't see that last night. Every time I turn on the game, I don't see that. I see somebody scoring 130 points against them.
Well, I'll know about the Lakers tonight more than last night, as odd as that sounds, because they have the Grizzlies tonight. And it would be really easy to overlook a team that's 24-48, 8-27 at home when you're a 40-32 Lakers team coming off of that win last night without LeBron James. We don't know his status for tonight. We don't know AD's status for tonight after playing almost 52 minutes. But guess what? It counts the same tonight as it did last night.
Yep.
And this is the thing with the NBA. And I love the NBA, but the Bucks are the same team that beat the Suns a couple of weeks ago in a huge game on ABC. Without Giannis, they beat the Suns. And then they lose the Lakers without LeBron James. You can't figure these things out, but America's analyst Tim Legler is going to join us in about 40 minutes. Last night is why I am not giving up on the Warriors and Lakers. I'm not saying to win at all, but to make some noise in the playoffs, because the Warriors go to Miami. Miami's depleted. They win the game. Klay Thompson looked great last night, and the Lakers come back from 19 down. They both play second night of a back-to-back tonight. Warriors have a much more difficult matchup on the road at Orlando, and your Lakers have the Grizzlies tonight. Again, it counts the same tonight as it did last night.
Yeah, and that's why the others got to step up. Like Austin Reeves, D'Angelo
Triple
Russell.
Triple-double last night. He was great.
No, I know he was great, but those guys are going to have to step up, right? Because
yes.
You know that Anthony Davis is not going to be able to be the same guy that we saw against the Bucks last night again tonight. Like, that's asking a lot. A guy, a big man playing over 50 minutes, that's asking a lot.
Sure.
So, I mean, somebody's going to have to shoulder more of the load and score in the basketball offensively. I still think AD can be, you know, a deterrent when it comes to protecting the paint, protecting the rim. But those other guys are going to have to shoulder more of the burden of scoring. They have the ability to be able to do that. So these are the kind of games that test your mettle. And those role players are going to have to play a lot better than we've seen them play over the course of the entirety of this season if the Lakers are going to be able to go on a deep playoff run. So to Ev's point, tonight we'll be able to tell the tale, because now you know that Anthony Davis is not going to be able to give you as much as he did last night.
I also wonder, and we'd have to look at reporting on this, if LeBron was basically the Lakers and LeBron got together and said, listen, we may or may not beat the Bucks, but if you play, we'll definitely beat the Grizzlies. So let's actually save you for the easier of the two games to guarantee a victory. Because even if he played against the Bucks, there was no guarantee they win. If he's going to play tonight, they're going to win.
Yeah, no doubt.
So I wonder if maybe they saved him on the front end of the back-to-back resting. I know he's got the ankle injury, and he plays tonight.
I would want to rest him tonight, too.
But that's where you get into that risky business.
I get it, but I would want to rest him tonight, too. I mean, I'm already to the good, right? Like, we're already – I'm not going to say house money, but we're already –
No, you're a game ahead of where you thought you'd be.
We're a game ahead of where we thought we would be. So, I mean, I feel like this is one of those where I need those other guys to knuckle up and find a way to be able to get it done.
Right now, the Lakers, as we mentioned, four games in a row, they've won. They're the 9 seed right now, 2 games back in the loss column with the 8 seed Phoenix Suns, and they are 2 games up on the Warriors for the 10 seed. The Warriors, as I mentioned, beat the Heat last night. They're a game up on the Rockets, who have won 9 games in a row, and I believe the Rockets are the Thunder, if I'm not mistaken, tonight in a big game.
But here's the thing. It takes away – if they get up to the 8 spot, it takes away the one-and-done proposition, right?
Right.
Because all of a sudden you got 2 games to win one if you're a 7 or 8 seed, as opposed to having to win 2 games, or if you lose a game, you're out. Like, anything can happen in a one-game winner-take-all scenario, and I would just want to avoid the Lakers being in that position.
You know what's interesting is that you think, when you look at these standings, Sacramento 7, Phoenix 8, Lakers 9, Golden State 10. In your head, you're thinking, okay, if they could choose a team to play, you'd choose Sacramento because they don't have Durant or they don't have Steph. Yet, Domantas Sabonis has destroyed them this year.
What is it, 55 consecutive double-doubles for Sabonis?
He's annihilated the Lakers and annihilated Anthony Davis, oddly enough. Like, just
Davis has a problem with European centers. I don't know what it is. Sabonis.
So does Draymond.
Who is Jokic-like, and then Jokic-like. He's got a problem with them guys. It doesn't go well for AD when he's playing against those dudes.
That's
I'm
a good
just
point.
Saying.
I simultaneously, with every ounce of me, want the Lakers and Warriors in a do-or-die game and don't want either of them to be eliminated from the playoffs. Which one
can,
of them
I
would be?
The drama.
I can understand what you're saying.
Well, because that would feel like a game 7 of the NBA Finals in a play-in, right?
That would be so entertaining.
And
like, here's the thing. Like, the Lakers are right now 9-10. I would prefer to have the Lakers in the actual playoffs as opposed to the Kings and the Suns.
Oh, yeah. So actually, the dream scenario is Lakers, Warriors, and 7-8. That's actually the dream scenario.
That's not going to happen.
Right. But you get the one game, and then the other one is still alive to still get in. And then what's
Could you imagine? I just want to float this out there. Yep. Think about how spicy this would be. If Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal don't find themselves in an actual playoff series, if they get bounced in the play-in.
Ooh, man. That's going to be a lot of heat coming.
Like, I'm serious. Like, it is a very real scenario where the Lakers make up those 2 games and they get the 8 spot, and the Suns are like the ninth spot in the West as the play-in starts. If you lose in the play-in – and you don't get to a playoff series? How disastrous would that be for the Suns and for Kevin Durant?
Well, I'll tell you what should... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say we're going to have a lot more questions about Kevin Durant if that's the scenario.
Well, here's the answer.
I don't think it's... I think it takes away the questions. I think it
really?
I think it makes it clear and obvious that he won those championships through osmosis from being on the team with Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green. Like, he might have got the finals MVPs, but he was just there for the hats and the T-shirts. Like, I just think it was by far more about those guys establishing the culture than it was about anything Kevin Durant did.
I don't know that that's 100% fair, but I get what you're saying.
You can say it's not fair, but we got...
He was amazing.
But here's the thing. We've got proof of concept in terms of it being disastrous with KD as the guy putting together a team in Brooklyn, and then him being the architect for the team with the Phoenix Suns.
It's
been absolutely embarrassing.
I have no interest in him being on the Suns. I'm sorry to the Phoenix Suns. I have an interest in Kevin Durant being a star, and I have an interest in him being a star back with the Oklahoma City Thunder. If they don't win this year, I want Kevin Durant back on the Oklahoma City Thunder. Oklahoma City has all the assets in the world to trade for Kevin Durant. They have players and they have picks more than anybody else in the league. They could get Kevin Durant back. And there's only one place he can go after this. If he doesn't want to be in Phoenix hypothetically and he wants to go somewhere else, he cannot join a fourth team. He should go back to Oklahoma City by way of trade. And with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Jalen Williams and Chet Holmgren, try to win a championship that way. That's where he can go. The whole thing with Kevin Durant is he's a Hall of Fame nomad. He doesn't have a home, right? We don't know where his home is. Go back to OKC if it doesn't work out in Phoenix.
But do you think that adding him to that equation would be beneficial from a chemistry standpoint for Oklahoma City? Because if we're looking at it through this lens, mm-hmm. he went to a place where there was veteran leadership and a culture that was already established. You're talking about a younger team. He comes in as the guy who's won before, who's been a star in this league. How does that power dynamic work?
I think he absolutely is exactly what they need, honestly. And I understand that a lot of people look at Oklahoma City and say they need big center types to slide Chet down if we're going to get into the X's and O's, and you're talking about the human element of it, which is obviously what Kevin Durant has been knocked for, right?
Because leadership. It hasn't worked in Brooklyn. It's not, exactly. to this point, bearing out so much in Phoenix.
I think if you put him on that team, it is the perfect missing piece to the puzzle, if there is even a missing piece to the puzzle with Oklahoma City. I would love to see him traded back there. And if you're Phoenix, if it doesn't work this year, it's not going to get better. Right? These guys are older, more banged up. At some point, Devin Booker is going to say to you, I kind of don't want to be around this anymore. And you have no way of getting this better, because when you max out three contracts in the current structure of the NBA like they have, you can't add multiple pieces. Bradley Beal, I would assume, CeCe, you would know this better than I would. I would assume the no trade clause stays with him, right?
Yeah, it does.
So then I don't know what the heck you do with him, right? And he doesn't play that much. If it doesn't work out this year in Phoenix, I don't think it's ever going to work out this year in Phoenix.
How do you think it's going to work out in Phoenix this year?
I'm saying, if it doesn't.
It's not going to work out in Phoenix.
It's done.
Here's the thing. I think Kevin Durant is done competing for championships.
Not
just winning championships.
OKC?
I think he's done competing for championships.
Why is that?
Well, I mean, in his 30s, we've only seen Kevin Durant win one series in the conference finals or better. Mm-hmm. Just one. That's it. That's it. Like, that is the list. Like, you have to start being a little bit concerned. I think it was that series went against the Brooklyn Nets. That was the series that he ended up winning. With the Brooklyn Nets with the Milwaukee Bucks. That was – no, he lost that series.
It was
the – But the series before that was the one he won.
Right.
Yeah, because they lost in the conference semis. That was the year. So, yeah. I mean, I don't think Kevin Durant is going to get to that level again. We keep wanting to have him as a rival to LeBron James, and I'm sorry, LeBron James gets to the championship rounds far more consistently, regardless of whatever team he's a part of. Mm-hmm. Well, with Kevin Durant, we haven't seen that. Like, once he's gotten to his 30s, he just hasn't been able to elevate his team in the playoffs when it matters the most. And I'm starting to get real skeptical about whether or not he's ever going to be capable of doing that again.
I think the masses critiqued the wrong part of Kevin Durant with Golden State. The critique should not have been him going there. It should have been him leaving there.
Yeah, because he left a better basketball situation for the unknown in Brooklyn. He felt like that's what he needed to do to build his resume. And it backfired on him. He wasn't able to do what LeBron James was able to do, right? LeBron James went to basketball school with the Miami Heat, figured out the secret sauce to win a championship, went and replicated it in two other places.
Yep.
And the two other places that KD has been post Golden State Warriors championship situation have been disastrous. Like, and he is the face of not only the disaster with Brooklyn, but the failures that have been going on in the desert with the Phoenix Suns. And again, I'll say this again. If they don't get to a real playoff series this year, like, all of a sudden, I think his legacy starts to take a hit. How we perceive him when it comes to the pantheon of all-time greats has to absolutely change if they can't get to a real playoff series.
We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
A last dance before a first dance. We've been saying it, guys, and every moment that the Dallas Cowboys tell us their plans for this year, it continues to back up that they're in their last dance season with this group, yet we have no indication of a first dance. Right? The whole point of the last dance documentary with the Bulls was it was their sixth championship. Right? With that group.
Yeah.
Six.
One final run together to try to replicate their success.
6 and 8 years, right? Because the year Michael was off and then the year Michael came back for part of the year, they lost to Orlando in the playoffs. So it's an 8-year stretch. Six of them in the NBA Finals winning a championship. One of them, Eastern Conference Finals, they lost to the Knicks and then lost to the Magic. So they were further along in their quote-unquote off years than the Cowboys have been in any of the years previously. But yesterday, we get the reporting from the NFL Network that Dak and the Cowboys have, quote, a mutual understanding of his contract situation. Which means what to you guys?
I actually don't know how to take that. But if I had to mine through it and come out with something, because to me, there's no way it could be a mutual understanding if the deal is not done. If I'm Dak Prescott, I want a certain amount of money. The only way that we could be in a mutual agreement there is you're going to pay it. And if so, why isn't it done yet? So that's why I can't arrive at a conclusion other than maybe they both have had a sit down and they have determined that this is the last year for both of them together and that they will be moving on after the end of the season.
Yeah, I just hate the position that they put the team in, right? Because you think about it from the locker room's perspective, and not only do you have to contend with having a lame duck coach, but you got to deal with having a lame duck quarterback. So two people that are central when it comes to the leadership structure within the Dallas Cowboys, the organization is essentially hedging against both of them. So as a player, why are you going to respect the authority of either one of those people under the current circumstances? You just wouldn't. Right. If they have no more job security than anybody else, then how can you respect them as central leadership figures? That's the part where I think Jerry is missing the mark in terms of being able to establish the agenda, being able to establish the chemistry that is requisite for any team that's going to win a title. Like, you got to be able to trust the people that are in charge, the people that are leaders, the people that are supposed to take the message from the higher-ups within the organization to the rest of the locker room. And when you have your head coach and your quarterback in that situation where the organization is taking a wait-and-see approach with both of them, I just don't know how that puts you closer to your ultimate goal.
Well, let's play a round of who says no then, because if you're talking about a quarterback, which we are, on the final year of his deal, an expiring contract with no ability for a team to franchise him, meaning they don't control any rights after this year, and a quarterback with a no-trade clause, he could literally come out there right now and say, I'd like to play for blank. Doesn't mean they have to do it. It means he would have a right to do it, and we don't see this in this sport. I understand we saw it with Kirk Cousins this year, but that is a rarity. We see it in other sports way more than this one. So, like the main pieces of a deal. Who says no? If the Cowboys and Commanders are talking about Dak for the number 2 pick overall.
Oh, I mean, if you're Dallas, you have to be a little bit concerned about that, right?
You don't want the number 2 pick?
I don't want to trade Dak in the division.
To a division rival.
Okay.
No way.
Yeah.
Well, like, then you I guess he could
go there anyway, which is scary in and of itself, right?
Sure, yeah.
Like, if you don't extend him, then he has the opportunity to waltz into another situation. Now, the Commanders would probably take a quarterback, and that would take that off the table.
Wait, stop right there for a second, because you just led into something else, right? Play out the hypothetical. J.J. McCarthy is the fourth quarterback off the board in the top four. The Giants don't get a quarterback at 6. Daniel Jones plays out his contract this year. They release him after the next season. They have Drew Lock there, and they have Tommy DeVito, a.k.a. they would have an opening for a star quarterback.
Yeah.
The Dallas Cowboys would get a third-round compensatory pick from the Giants, and they couldn't stop Dak Prescott from going to the Giants, as I understand this, correct?
Correct.
So the idea of trading him in division, if you can get something in return, may become some sort of value play for them because he may go in division anyway. Think about that. One of the things you have said, Small, specifically, is going to another team, he wouldn't have the shine on him like he has with the Dallas Cowboys. I promise you, if he plays here in New York City, he would.
But I, even though it's New York City and it's the biggest market in the country and there's a certain level of cachet that comes with that, I think that would still be less than what he deals with in Dallas. It would still be less attention and less pressure than he deals with being the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys that still hasn't reached the championship round in 30 years. So I think that that might be a welcome situation for him because he's still in the spotlight enough, still relevant enough, and he's wanted there. Yet the pressure would be less. But if I'm Dallas and I truly believe that Dak is a guy that can win a Super Bowl, I'm not trading him within the division. There's no way I'm doing that.
For whatever reason, and our producer Nuno, who's also a Giants fan, can chime in, I just can't see Dak Prescott being the quarterback of the New York Giants.
Why?
I don't think he would be their kind of guy.
Not a fit?
Yeah, I just don't think he would be a fit for what ownership is looking for. I just don't.
You're saying they would have to be uncomfortable with a new direction.
Well, yeah. I mean, didn't Deion Sanders say it the other day? Like, there's certain teams, certain franchises that are going to go a certain way. Like, the New York Giants are always going to have an Eli. Like, I just feel like the New York Giants is just, I don't know if Dak Prescott would be a great fit from a football standpoint, from an X's and O's. I think it'd be great in terms of the culture in your building. Like Dak does all of the things well that you would want a franchise quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
I think he'd be a great football player, great fit for the New York Giants. I'm just not sure ownership would see it that way.
Here's the thing that we have come to on this, though. When normal logic would be, I can't trade him in division, you may not have a choice after this.
You may not have a choice, which is why but here's the thing. The Cowboys don't have a choice now because Dak has a full no-trade clause. So the question is whether or not you are confident that you can work out a long-term deal after the season if – you know, if Dak Prescott is considering other places to go.
All right, two more who says no's, okay? Who says no's? Who says no on this with Dak Prescott? And I have said all along that I believe Dak Prescott will ask out at some point. That's been my prediction. Doesn't mean he's going to. It means pressure to get a contract extension. Who says no? Main framework of a deal, Dak Prescott for number three in New England.
Dak says no.
Because Dak is one of the options because he has no trade.
Dak has a no trade.
Why would Dak want to go there?
Okay. Dak to Minnesota for 11 and 23. Who says no? So you have three options, Minnesota, Dallas, and Dak.
I mean, I would say Minnesota says no because two first-round draft picks seems a little bit rich for a guy that's only under contract for one more year. Like, I don't have to give that up. Like, I can get Dak for nothing next offseason.
Smalls?
Oh, in this scenario, I'm more inclined to say that I think all parties might say yes.
Really?
If Dallas is not thinking that Dak is the long-term answer for them, why wouldn't they want to get as much draft capital as they can right now? Minnesota clearly needs a quarterback. Dak's a proven commodity. He's probably looking at that roster saying, I can work with this. There's a lot of talent here. Mm-hmm. I think everybody might say yes.
Two
on that.
First round draft picks is rich for a guy that I got to make the highest paid player in NFL history.
But it's not a coin flip like it is in the draft. He is a proven commodity in this league, and he's played in a place where he's had an incredible amount of pressure. Of course, that hasn't translated to the postseason success that they would want, but you know what you're getting in Dak Prescott, the player, and Dak Prescott, the person.
I mean, two first-round draft picks, it feels like that's a little bit table stakes for a franchise quarterback because that's what the Rams gave up for Matt Stafford, right?
Yes and no, because it was like one to get off of Jerry Goff,
ended up giving two first-round draft picks to Detroit, right?
Yes, oh yeah.
Okay, so that's my point. They gave two first-round draft picks to Detroit, but then they waited a year before they gave him the contract, and it just so happens that they won the Super Bowl in year one, so they had proof of concept before they ended up having to pay him. Minnesota wouldn't have that luxury if they traded two ones, especially two ones this season for Dak.
But if I told you Dak was on the Minnesota Vikings this year, who would you pick to win the NFC North?
It's still right there between them and the Green Bay Packers. And that division, the Green Bay Packers,
loaded.
That's a tough division.
If you add him to the Vikings.
And then Caleb Williams with the Bears, that is a tough division.
I am inclined to go with Green Bay too, but I would really have to think about it if you had Dak Prescott to the Vikings. And we're kind of dismissing the Lions who are still right there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm bullish on the Green Bay Packers.
I love the Packers.
But quickly, if you're going to tell me that you don't believe Dak Prescott added to the Minnesota Vikings could win a division this year because of the Lions. But if theoretically you don't think they can because of the Lions and the Packers, then you should trade Justin Jefferson because then you should tank.
No. I'm not going to say that.
Like, that's what I'm saying.
You can't tap out if you're Kevin O'Connell and you're Kwesi Adofo-Mensa. You got to have – but I think that creates more urgency about getting a quarterback. So, I mean, that's why I think that's why they can be aggressive.
The state of the division, you mean?
The state of the division because everybody's going to be good and everybody has a quarterback except you.
Well, Dak Prescott would be one. Just saying. Coming up, the MLB season really gets going this week. Not like the Seoul series, then a break, then you know, it really gets going.
We've made
this
it,
week.
People.
Smalls is going to give us her top five storylines heading into the 2024 MLB season coming up. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. From number 5 to number 1, these are the Michelle Smallman Power Rankings.
Of course, that list, the only list that matters.
What? I'm from the loop, and I'm proud. So embarrassing. That is so embarrassing.
Great.
It doesn't
great
sound cool without Nelly behind me.
Nah, it's okay, though. It's all right, though.
It is okay, because we are on the precipice of baseball season, guys. We are one sleep away from the full slate of games opening up. There's nothing better than opening day in baseball. So let's run through my top five storylines as we encroach upon the 2024 Major League Baseball season. I'm Michelle Smallman alongside Super Bowl champion Chris Canty and Evan Cohen on Unsportsmanlike. Let's go from one to five, because the biggest storyline that is at the top of mind entering this Major League Baseball season is obviously Shohei Ohtani and the Dodgers. After wasting away with the Angels for six seasons, literally zero playoff success, he signs that 10-year, $700 million deal with a loaded Dodgers team. But there's a gambling scandal. You may have heard of it. We don't know if he was defrauded, his involvement in all of this. And he hasn't even had a full week of regular season games under his belt, which is kind of a nightmare. But obviously, what will happen with him as this investigation unfolds, and if it's going to be a distraction for him as the season gets going, is my number one storyline heading into the season.
Do you think Michelle Smallman, on the record right now, he will be eligible to play in 162 games this year?
I do not.
Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo.
I do not.
I co-sign. I think he's too close to it. I'm not saying that he's guilty of doing anything, but because of the relationship that he has with Ipe Matsuhara and and the misconduct that took place, and then them directly linking his accounts to the impropriety with the Southern California bookmaker, I don't think Rob Manfred is going to have a choice. And I'm not saying that it's a suspension without pay. Maybe it ends up being something like the commissioner's list in the NFL, where they say he can't participate in club activities, but he's still going to get paid pending the outcome of the investigation. I don't know how you can keep him close to the team and keep him out there on the field, where this is going to be the clear and present question that everybody is asking. I just don't know how you do that.
What about you, Evan?
I think he's going to be. I think that denial was strong enough for baseball to kind of just prolong the investigation.
But they're not just going
to
believe him and take him at his word. They're going to look into the facts.
Yeah, and it's not just baseball. It's the federal government. The Bingo. FBI is doing this.
The feds are watching
him. So there's no way you can insulate Shohei Ohtani.
I don't know, it's become my fault.
I'm not blaming
not you. Sorry.
No, I don't think anybody's. But I think it's just a situation now where, because he is, I guess, going to be the face of this scandal with the interpreter, like, people are always going to look at him with a certain degree of scrutiny, and that just has a cloud of suspicion over the entire sport when he is out there on the field. Now, if he's not playing, then that becomes something on the side as opposed to something that is front and center every single game, every single day. So I guess that's the whole point of this whole show day thing. Like, it's just, it's so uncomfortable for Major League Baseball that I don't think they're going to have a choice.
Just for clarity purposes, none of us here said he's guilty of anything.
No.
We're just talking about eligibility based on information out there. All right, second biggest storyline, Smalls.
Let's stick with the Dodgers. Number two, will the real Yamamoto please stand up? What version are the Dodgers going to get of this guy in 2024? Is it going to be Slim Shady, a.k.a. the guy who had a 1.2 ERA over seven seasons in Japan? Or is it the less cool Marshall Mathers version of him that we saw in the Seoul series who struggled to get through one inning, allowing five runs on four hits, one walk, one hit by pitch? He needed 43 pitches to get through that frame, and the Dodgers lost to the Padres. For 12 years and $325 million, they're hoping they get the Japan version of this guy.
How did we get an M&M comparison out of this?
Because what version are we going to get? Does his stuff translate to Major League Baseball?
Well, it doesn't
feel like it. The Padres took the soul out of him when they pitched over there in Korea.
No,
like,
doubt.
It just didn't work out for him. You're hoping that he can figure it out, but what's clear and obvious is that you're not going to be able to overwhelm hitters with velocity in this sport. You've got to be able to have an attack. You've got to be able to have a plan. You've got to be able to generate swings and misses. You can't nibble at the strike zone and expect that hitters are going to bite. They're going to make you throw strikes at them. And so you've got to have a way to be able to get guys out while throwing strikes. And it's clear that he hasn't figured that out yet. I'm not saying that he can't do it, Ev, but he has yet to show it, which is going to leave me skeptical. And so the two big acquisitions that the Dodgers made this offseason are turning out to be things that they might have to overcome in different ways.
They always have Mookie, and that's all that matters, right?
And they got Tyler Glasnow, too. Glasnow is a hell of a pitcher.
He is. He certainly is. But they spent a lot of money on Yamamoto. All right, number three. Speaking of the Padres, are they good? Are the Padres going to be good this year? They're a tough team to figure out. They lost Juan Soto. Obviously, your offense takes a hit, removing a hitter like him from the equation. There's been a bit of a talent drain there. Blake Snell, Josh Hader, the list goes on. Still a lot of core talent on this team. And a big thing that no one is talking about is Mike Schilt being the manager with the Padres. Believe me when I tell you, this guy can manage his tail off. He's legit. It may take some time, but he's going to get this team fundamentally sound. They're going to have an identity. Do not let Mike Schilt's pleasant demeanor fool you. This guy is fiery. Just Google it. And I think he's going to get the Padres to the place that they need to be.
Well, as long as we're doing the comps, I'll ask you the comp on the New York Jets with this. I know that sounds crazy, but the Jets' whole theme is that they want to be the team this year that they were supposed to be last year. Is that what you're saying with the Padres? Are they going to be the team this year that they were supposed to be last year, all by making sure that they do exactly what you've said, which is after Bochy and the Rangers won the World Series, you kept saying, bring in the veteran managers. Let the people that have been there and done that actually manage the team a little bit.
Experience does matter, and Mike Schilt is a great manager. He knows what he's doing. So, yes, I think the Padres, despite the talent drain that I just talked about, I think they might actually be in a better spot. I would not be surprised if they're a playoff team this year.
Would not surprise me either. They got a lot of talent, and they got some guys in there that have a winning pedigree. I love the addition that they made last year, Xander Bogaerts. I think he's going to be phenomenal with that team moving forward.
All right, now let's keep it pushing. As CeCe said, we mentioned Juan Soto. He's off the Padres. I think he landed in a great spot in the Bronx with the Yankees. Who doesn't want to hit in front of Aaron Judge? He's going to see his fair share of pitches. I think he's going to absolutely rake at Yankee Stadium. And for someone who's building the case to get his bag for impending free agency, this feels like the perfect recipe for a monster season from Juan Soto. I don't know if it's going to translate to overall team success for the Yankees. We will be watching, but certainly I think he is going to show what he can do in New York.
The Yankees are projected to win 71 games, which is dead last in the AL East.
Like, I didn't know if it would translate to team success.
Color me skeptical, man. Like, I mean, you're a bad guy. Why is my pain got to be your entertainment?
What a shame.
You're a bad guy. I mean,
he's a Mets fan.
I mean, the Juan Soto thing feels like a last gasp for Aaron Boone and for Brian Cashman. They got to figure this out. There's more pressure on them to win than anybody else in that Yankees organization. And guess what? Winning becomes exponentially harder when you're missing the reigning, defending American League Cy Young winner in Gerrit Cole. And nobody knows when he's going to be back, if he's going to be back this season. Now, there are moves that they can go out there and make, A former pitcher that the Yankees used to have, Jordan Montgomery, is still out there.
No, he signed with the Diamondbacks. Well, 1 year,
exactly,
25.
Exactly. So great. So we had an opportunity to replace that. We had an opportunity to get rid of that. Like the guy that was second when it came to wins, where he had six innings pitched and two earned runs or less. Like he was second to Gerrit Cole in that category, tied with Blake Snell, and you could have signed him with the big question mark that you had at pitching, and you decided not to do it.
And he was beloved in that clubhouse. They loved Monty in New York.
All right, so play out the projection of 71 games, 71 wins, excuse me. If they're tracking towards 71 wins and Soto's a free agent after the season, is there any chance they actually move Soto before he even hits free agency? Would they actually trade him off?
Ooh, that's juicy.
Because there's two ways of doing
this. That would be such a failure. Oh, my God.
But Smalls, two ways
awful.
Of doing this.
That would be an awful look for the Yankees.
Is it? Let me ask you a question.
He was brought in to help get them to a better position. Yeah. If they have to wave the white flag by that point, that's bad.
What if I told you that as part of trading him, you said to the incoming team, you must take Stanton?
How many more years do you have of the bad
25, stand? 26, 27, and then a club option at 28. So three
so
more
three
years.
Three more years?
Yeah. And let's call it, you know, $90 million all in. So I don't
you have
care
three
about
more years after this year?
After this year. So if you say to a team, I don't actually care about the prospects, you want Soto, take this contract off my hands. If we're pacing towards 71 wins in this baseball reference projection, just throwing that out there. You have to think about those things if that's actually going to be what the Yankees are this year. Number five, smallest top five storylines.
Number five, can the Rangers repeat? In their first postseason since 2016, they battled adversity. They won the World Series. They're trying to become the first repeat champion since the Yankees won three straight in 98 through 2000. A lot of that nucleus from this World Series team is returning, but they're going to need to hold it down until some key pieces in the rotation get healthy. But obviously, we're going to be watching Texas and seeing if they can get it done. Honorable mention before we get out of here, how many games will it take for me to get very, very mad at the Cardinals rotation?
Sounds like one if they don't perform well tomorrow.
I'm going to say it happens in late May.
Late
like
May?
You reach your boiling point in late
okay.
May.
Okay. Yeah.
Coming up, America's analyst Tim Legler will join us next. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C, ebikes.com.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
America's analyst, Tim Legler, is here.
What's up?
Before we get into anything NBA, there's two items we got to get to with Legs.
Okay.
Number one, you're not happy with our classification of the movie The Exorcist. Well, you know, the one that you fall asleep to every night.
Do you see what he does?
Yeah.
He says our classification.
This was all him.
You're not brought into this at all. Now, you weren't here.
No.
He referred to The Exorcist as a murder mystery.
No.
It's a demonic possession movie.
My bad.
That's what I watch to calm myself down when I can't sleep. I'm not a lunatic.
Oh, no, not at all. Yeah, just a demonic possession
that's
movie.
Right.
It's a murder mystery, he referred to The Exorcist.
I don't know.
He clearly hasn't seen it.
Yeah, no question.
All right, the second thing is,
yes,
CC had to move the last 2 days. He has now said he believes as an adult, that is the most frustrating thing that you can do as an adult. Is there something in adult life that is more frustrating than moving?
Yeah, I wouldn't know that. I don't know if I would describe moving as frustrating.
I said
as,
stressful.
Okay, that. Oh, okay. Yeah. See, you
I'm again, sorry. I can't
again,
get
stressful. It's not semantics. These things are important. Yeah, it is stressful, and it's incredibly hard work. Right, it wears you out, yeah. Like getting prepared to move. But I wouldn't necessarily look. I've done it a dozen times, probably as an adult, moving, and I'm hopefully I'm done. For at least the short term. At least the short term. Yeah, if my wife's listening right
now.
I
love the fact that you don't know.
Hopefully
I love
we're done.
That you don't know.
Hopefully we're done. Is there something more frustrating as an adult? Off the top of my head, I can't think.
Would you rather move again or lose your phone and your wallet right now?
Move again.
You'd rather move?
I lose my mind if I can't find my phone, man.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
I lose my mind if I can't find my phone. It's a massive like anxiety. I'm thinking about it right now. It's right here.
Most people worry about right like here. Secret information on their phones. Legs has like tape of the Sacramento Kings third quarter zone defense on his
phone.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
God
man.
Forbid
no,
he should lose that.
It freaks me out, man. It freaks me out.
Is it all in the cloud though? You could
yeah,
get
it
all
is.
Your info
you, yeah,
back.
Yeah, it is. It is. But I don't know. I just there's something. I left it in an Uber one time.
Oh no,
man. I was in a bad state.
Did you get it back?
Bad state. I moved three times that week just to relieve some stress. That's how upset I was.
Oh, that's a good line. All right, last night, Legs.
Okay?
That was a good line. Nobody picked up on it for some reason. Last night, for me, gives me the reason that I still am not going to give up on the Lakers and the Warriors. Yeah. Both of them good wins. Where are you at with
more
both
so
those
the
teams?
Lakers, I would say, in terms of not giving up on them. That was a statement win, I think, for the Lakers. Number one, just the fact that you obviously playing without LeBron on the road against a good team that's hot, that's getting a lot of attention right now. They dug out of two different holes. Like they started the game, they're down 15 immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And you're without LeBron against the Bucks who are playing great right now. You have every reason to just that be a 30-point loss, right? They battle back. Mm-hmm. Then the Bucks regain control again. They go up 19 in the fourth quarter. And the Lakers dug out of that hole. So that's first. The resilience that it showed, not typical of the Lakers over the last couple of years. But then more importantly, now you're in a one-possession game. They've got two superstars playing. The Lakers make every play that has to be made. Defensively, they execute offensively to get the shots they need. Role players step up and have huge moments. Anthony Davis had two of the best defensive plays you're going to see all year to preserve that game. And then some of the issues for the Bucks surfaced late. You know, that you think maybe they're past it. Giannis' free throw surfaced again last night late in the game. Just lack of execution in general. They're much worse in pressure situations under Doc than they were before Doc.
Oh, my gosh.
And they fired Adrian Griffin. Think about that. At 30-13. But they were handling pressure situations well. They haven't done that with Doc. Now, they are better defensively. But that's always been like a wrap on Doc, right? You wonder. He's had moments in the playoffs. And you saw it again last night, not putting it all on Doc, but just collectively as a team, they did not operate the way they had to in a game against the Lakers without their best player. Great sign for the Lakers, and I think raises a little bit of concern about the Bucks.
So I got to ask the question, and since you opened the door, I'm going to walk through it. With the Milwaukee Bucks, we've always viewed this thing as a two-team race in the Eastern Conference. Are they a true threat to the Boston Celtics if everybody's healthy, or is it Boston and everybody else in the East?
Boston's going to the finals, barring an injury. All right, I'm just going to say that right now. I'm certain of it. But
and Milwaukee has two of the three best players in the conference?
Yeah, they've narrowed the gap, to answer your question. They've narrowed the gap. It's now at least a conversation. It wasn't a conversation, you know, 6 weeks ago. It's
okay.
A conversation now. Because
but
the
it
Bucks
seems like it's a pretty quick
so
one because
well.
That was a very clear answer that you just gave.
Because I think the Celtics – listen, the Celtics, by the way, are going to have to answer some late-game situations, right, that they have been questioned about in the past.
Yeah, they blew a 30-point lead to the Hawks a couple of days.
Yeah, they did, and even just going back to the finals a couple years ago against the Warriors, right? But now, listen, Jaylen Brown's on a completely different level.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
And that, to me, gives hope for Jason Tatum. It takes pressure off of Tatum to have to be the guy that has every answer in those moments. You now have a guy that is absolutely your peer – playing alongside you as a co-star. And I just think the versatility of their top five players, you know, White and Holiday and Porzingis, and like just a number of different ways they can attack you. Nobody has that. And that's why I think Boston's going to the finals unless an injury takes place. But at least Milwaukee has narrowed the gap to the point where I see that being a challenging series for the Celtics, if that's where we get, which I think that's where we'll end up.
Legs, I want to bring you into another conversation we had today about Kevin Durant. If the Suns and KD do not have the postseason success that many expect them to or had expected them to in the past this season, does that shift the way you view him at all as a player?
You know, it's weird. It's because there's always two different conversations. How do you view a guy's talent And then how do you view a guy's career? I think they're two different conversations. Mm. There's no denying the talent. He's one of the greatest to ever play. But when you start to look at his career and the way that he's going to be viewed as a winner and all of those things, yes, it matters. It matters the way that this has gone. First of all, he joined a team that was great. They won two championships. Awesome. He was a finals MVP, basically became an unbeatable team when he went there, and they delivered. But look since, and now look at this team. With that level of offensive talent to be playing the way they are, think about what's happened to them in the last week. They lost to the Bucks, gave up 140 points without Giannis. Mm-hmm. 24 made threes they gave up without Giannis Antetokounmpo to draw attention. And then they play a Spurs team that's not trying to win without Wembanyama.
Right.
And they lose that game.
Yeah.
There's just a listlessness about them. There's a lack of, like, connection. When I watch them play, it's just a series of individual events every trip up the floor. They just don't look like a team that has any cohesion. And I don't know if Frank Vogel can figure that out, or one of those voices amongst their top guys. They don't seem to have those personality types. So here we are. They're just like adrift at sea right now and lost. And I'm more worried
about... It's a bad time for them to be lost.
No question.
They're in the middle of the toughest 10-game stretch any team has had this season.
And I don't think anybody on this team or anybody on this coaching staff could deny what I just said. They absolutely are. That's how I feel. The way their shoulders drop when they face adversity, it's amazing to me. And I'm just wondering what is going on the daily dynamic with this team. They don't look like they've got the fight in them to do this. That's why I'm more concerned about them even than the Warriors to, like, get out of the play-in.
That's what I was going to ask you. Like, what does it say about Kevin Durant and the Suns if they don't get out of the play-in? If they can't get to a real playoff series, what does that do for KD's life?
This is going to take a big, big hit. A bigger one even than what went on in Brooklyn.
Really?
Absolutely. Wow. With this team, because they're healthy, assuming that Bradley Beal and Booker stay healthy alongside Kevin Durant, and they go into the play-in and they get bounced in the first game. Now, if you're 7-8, you got two chances to win one game.
But the Lakers could catch him for 8 because they're only 2 games behind
them. No doubt about it. And I think, look, next week, next Thursday is like one of the biggest nights on the schedule because the Warriors play Houston. And that might be like Warriors' final chance to like put that to bed and not get caught by the Houston Rockets. So assuming we were to get those four teams, which I think Dallas has a chance to escape the play-in the way they're playing. But let's just say it is those four teams with those four superstars. Phoenix is the team that I look at and say I have way less confidence in Phoenix even than I do Golden State. Because I know about Golden State, they are going to show up with the right mentality.
Yeah.
They might just not have enough on a given night because of the inconsistencies with Clay and Wiggins and different guys. They are going to show up ready to play. I can't say the same thing about the Phoenix Suns.
Clay was great last night. Your guy Kuminga, who I know you love, was awesome. Great last night. And the Warriors looked really good last night. Tim Legler, catch him on Get Up. First Take, America's analyst here at Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.